League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ocho says he bet $100 on NC State money line plus $2,750, plus $2,750 on the money line. He said he was feeling very good at halftime, LOL. That was weird. You see the Cameron Crazy that, like, passed out in the student section?
I did. And then because that's, and you and I were talking about this the other day, how small of a venue that is, that they had to, like, basically take her onto the court, right?
Oh, it was a girl?
I believe so, yes, from the video I saw.
Yeah. They had to, like, take her. Yeah, they did. They took her onto the court to, like, stretch her out. They put her on the little body board. Hope she wasn't dead. Texter says, I hope not. Texter says, that's why this morning, first thing I did whenever I got to work, worked up the numbers of the Rockets' schedule I had on a spreadsheet. I was going to send you guys, but it wouldn't go through for some reason. Well, it went through just now. We just got a picture of a spreadsheet of the Houston Rockets' remaining schedule. Two things. One, hashtag nerd. Two, you're doing this on company time, dude? Like, this is an elaborate you got, like, pivot charts and all of this stuff. Like, what are you doing on company time that you're putting together the second half of the Rockets' schedule on this Excel?
What the company don't know won't hurt him, Jeremy, so don't blow his cover.
First thing he did at work was update his Rockets' schedule Excel. Pivot charts, cells. I don't even know. I can't even talk this language. My Excel skills are basic. I'm a basic white girl when it comes to this. He says he's doing it for us. Appreciate that. Labor of love. Thank you. Soriano on YouTube says that Lance spilling the tea and starting rumors. He's trying to get social clicks and go viral.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Yep. Now, how come Granada didn't say that to Lance? Like, he's throwing this stuff out there to get clicks. It's working. It's successful. I mean, he's posturing, quite frankly.
Hey, phrasing!
How's that phrasing?
I clicked the wrong button. I rearranged my tabs, and it clicked the wrong one.
Onich says opening up a document takes some cojones. Might see something you don't want to see next time. I'm willing to live dangerously, boys. There's nothing I've never seen. All right, here are the hints of Chip Kelly being the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. Are you waiting for this one, Blankers?
I am.
Okay. First thing. The timing of this. D'Amico Ryans came out Monday. Hey, guys, I know I'm going to get staff questions, but I'm not going to take staff questions today. Was asked about Slowik in that same press conference. Was like, yeah, I saw improvement. Why wouldn't he talk? Why wouldn't he make it happen that day? Do you know what was happening later that night? The national championship game.
Oh.
Do you know who was calling plays in the national championship
yes.
game?
Chip Kelly.
So D'Amico doing Chip Kelly a solid saying, you know what? I'm going to hold off on this because I don't want this to drop on the day he's playing in the national championship game. So I think that's hint number one. And y'all can poo-poo this, 713-780-ESPN. But that's hint number one. Hint number two. Did you see the Ohio State defensive coordinator left Ohio State to go to Penn State? He's leaving the national championship team to go to a conference rival who's not on the same tier. Sorry, Penn State, but you're not. Ohio State won the national championship. They've been a step above you for the last 20 years. Why would he do that? Well, the report is that Ohio State Athletics operated at a $37 million deficit last year. It seems like coordinators are getting out of there. They're hightailing out of Columbus. One coordinator already has. And kind of the rumors on Chip Kelly is that he's seeking the NFL. So that is hint number two. And then hint number three. Did you see who the Texans interviewed for their offensive coordinator position yesterday?
I did. It was – I did. I saw it this morning.
Jeff Nixon. Jeff Nixon, who, like, who's that? I've never heard of Jeff Nixon. Have you ever heard of Jeff Nixon? He's been coaching for a long time, mostly in the NFL. He was the tight ends coach in San Francisco in 2016 in Chip Kelly's only year there. And, hate to be so callous about it, Jeff Nixon, minority. You have to interview two minority coaches externally. They can't be in-house, so Gerard Johnson wouldn't count for one of the two. So you still have to interview one more if you're the Houston Texans. But there's no chance Jeff Nixon is getting the offensive coordinator job for the Houston Texans. I'm sure he's a fine coach. I'm sure he's going to do well in his future endeavors. There is zero chance that Jeff Nixon is the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. But why would you interview a guy that had no chance? Because they're seeing if they want him to be on Chip Kelly's offensive staff. Those are your three clues. The timing of it, D'Amico doing Chip a solid by not announcing it on National Championship Day. Ohio State hemorrhaging money. Chip Kelly's going to bolt to the NFL. And then the Houston Texans are interviewing a guy that could potentially be on Chip Kelly's offensive staff.
Yeah, no, and I think it also goes back to the conversation we had yesterday when you start thinking about it, in the fact that Chip Kelly left a head coaching job, which presumably meant a lot more money than what he took, no matter what it was, at Ohio State. Ryan Day makes sense to me that they were that much money in the hole, because all the pressure in the world was on him to win, because he hadn't won the national championship yet. So he did what he had to do. And Chip Kelly was obviously not going to go back and did not want a head coaching job in college. He wanted to be able to still get close to what he was making, but make it where he's in a safer, a more conducive environment for him to do what he does best. And I think that those are all big factors in that. And the other one is, when you look around and you look at the rumor mills, everybody is saying that it's between the Jags and the Texans. Well, you brought it up. We talked about it yesterday. Between the two teams, which team would he have total autonomy to do whatever he wants, run the offense, call the plays, do everything his way, because D'Amico's a defensive-minded coach? That would be the Texans. The Jags, he's not even going to call plays.
Yeah, that's the other part of it as well. Onage saying, did you stretch before that reach? Alex saying, Jeremy, hashtag inspector, king of Twitch, you're putting way too much time into this. Vermont saying, seems like Chip Kelly would decide who would be on his staff. A texter saying, that's a bit of a reach, JB. And then they sent us the gif of the guy from It's Always Sunny with the conspiracy things. Look, we'll see. Like, yesterday I was feeling Gerard. Today, because of all of these hints that are very intellectually thought out, I think it's going to be Chip Kelly. I've changed.
I think
waffled.
It's going to be interesting how long it's going to take, because, you know, we had said, I thought it would be by the end of the week this week. I think you guys said it was possible by Wednesday.
I said close of business Friday.
Okay. I just think that they probably have whoever they've always had in mind who they wanted. It's just like, how quickly can they get the other interviews done, right?
Yeah, they would. I mean, technically, based on the rule and the language that I read, which, I mean, I'm not a great reader, so that's always up for interpretation. You have to interview two external minority coordinator candidates in person. They've only had one of those. So I don't think if they wanted to hire Chip Kelly today, they can legally do it by NFL rule. So, I mean, we're going to have to see some more interviews. Like, we're going to have to see more of them come out. But, I mean, if you were putting a percentage on Jeff Nixon being the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans next year, what would the number be?
3%.
Wow, that's high. I was going to put it at less than 1, greater than 0.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, never say never. But, yeah, 3% is as high as I can go.
Yeah, where are you at on it, B-Mac? What's your number?
0.5.
Give us your number. 0.5.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Less than 1, greater than 0. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What do y'all think the chances of Jeff Nixon being the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans are? 713-780-3776. Also, you get one realistic move for the Houston Texans this year. Big move. It can be a big move. It can be a big swing, but it's got to be realistic-ish. What are you doing? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, what is your realistic big swing for the Houston Texans this offseason? You might remember Joe Mixon, the exit interviews, was talking to the media. He said this, remember. Joe Mixon, thinking about it.
He was playing coy.
He's still thinking about what he wants to say.
I know for a fact that Nick got something cooked up right now, so definitely all excited for it, and fireworks will be here real soon.
All right, so he says Nick is cooking something up. Fireworks are going to be here real soon, Blankers. First off, do you think Mixon might know something here?
I do. Really? That just sounded because you know how general managers are. I just feel like that sounded too close to home. Like it's someone that he probably knows. The minute I heard it, I thought T. Higgins. I thought, I don't know how and if it's even feasible financially. It just sounded to me like, look, they played together in Cincinnati. They're probably still boys. He knows that this is his last year in Cincinnati. Maybe there's been conversations already where Nick's like, hey, Tank's going to be down. We don't know when Diggs is going to be back. We're going to try and go get T.
Yeah, that I don't know if a general manager is talking to his running back in the season,
exactly.
Of off-season moves. Like that's where like I think that Mixon's just kind of talking here. Like maybe he's talking more reputation because Mixon. I mean, Caserio's been known to make big moves. He brought in Joe Mixon. He brought in Stephon Diggs. He brought in Danielle Hunter. He made the big trade up for Will Anderson. So like Nick Caserio is known to be aggro. He is willing to make the moves. I think that Mixon's talking more from Casario's reputation than Nick Caserio went down to Joe Mixon and was like, hey, Joe, guess what I'm going to do in the offseason? I find that to be very hard to believe. So I think Mixon's talking more from reputation than something very, very specific. But what would be your realistic big swing for the Houston Texans? You mentioned T. Higgins. That would be the name you like. Because some people are saying Garrett Wilson. Would you rather have Wilson or would you rather have T. Higgins?
Yeah, I think because of the fact that Garrett Wilson is younger and I think Garrett Wilson is better. And he and CJ have a relationship. I'd rather have Garrett Wilson. And I know that was rumored during the season, but of the two guys, I'll take Garrett Wilson and I'll take my chances that, you know, they can let Diggs enjoy his next destination. You don't know what's going to happen with Tank and his health. And that if you're going to tell me that you're going to put just what Burrow had when he had T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, if you want to tell me that for the next couple of years you're going to have C.J. Stroud with Nico Collins and either one of those guys, to be honest with you, but like a Garrett Wilson, I'm all in for that.
I'm a Garrett Wilson guy. I think Wilson's more talented than Higgins. I'm a big fan of that. Now, it would cost you draft capital versus financial capital. Now, you could also say the Texans don't have a ton of money. I am curious to see what Higgins is like as the number one receiver, though. I'm very curious to see what his season looks like next year out of Cincinnati. Assuming he is out of Cincinnati. Maybe Cincinnati does the unthinkable and somehow keeps both of them there, which I highly doubt, but very fascinated by the year he's going to have next season. Texter says Pep Hamilton. I don't know if he's talking about the offensive coordinator interview or if he's talking about that being the big move.
Yeah, I think he was talking about the fact that if they have one more interview to have to get through for the Rooney Rule, that it would be Pep Hamilton.
I mean, he got fired by this.
He's local, isn't
front
he?
Office. Sure. I don't know what you saying they're saving a few bucks?
Yeah, they save a few bucks. They don't have to go with the whole airline hotel thing. It can speed up the process because if you are trying to bring a guy in based on their schedule, timing becomes an issue where you can get it fast. You get over fast. You don't have to spend anything to do it, and you appease the league.
I have a hard time, but well, you have no, you can't appease the league. You have to follow their rule. Like you mean?
Well, that's what I mean. You appease the rule.
I don't know how Pep Hamilton would accept the interview offer.
Okay, well then it's not right. As easy as Pep Hamilton.
Don't you think it'd be difficult for him to accept an interview request from the staff that fired him?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, did they? I mean, I think Nick. Yeah, as it relates to Nick, but. D'Amico didn't fire him, right? D'Amico just hired his own staff.
We didn't retain him, yeah, but, I mean, Nick had hired him as the on his staff, and then he got the OC job, and then they were like, yeah, your services are no longer needed. Like, that would be a weird dynamic. I mean, crazier things have happened. So, he's working, you know, on TV every now and then, so it's not like he has a job. Maybe he would do it. Texter says trade Tunsil. Where would you stand on that, the trade Tunsil element of this?
You got to find a team that wants him, and your offensive line is already in shambles to the point where he's been your best lineman, and he still is your best lineman regardless of how much he's being paid to where, and I don't know how that would affect, you know, with his numbers and everything, but I would definitely say you're going to hang on to Tunsil at least next year, for sure next year.
His contract's pretty restrictive to move him. It'd be better to trade him than like, you're not cutting him, obviously. Now, yeah. I'm all in favor of giving the new offensive coordinator full, and the Twitch loves when I say this, full autonomy. Like, if whether it's Chip, Gerard has been here for a couple of years, so he would know this. If he's like, yeah, we know that he's a great player, but we feel like, you know, he doesn't have the dog in him. We feel like he's not a great leader. We feel like he's kind of holding down the rest of the offensive line. We feel like it's not the attitude that we want from our offensive line. Like, I want mean son of a guns, you know? Like, if and I'm not saying this is the case. I'm not saying this. Laramie and I are tight. We're boys. Our names rhyme. But if Chip Kelly came in here, he's like, yeah, we can't win with that guy. You got to move on, right?
Right. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look, and I think that's the biggest thing is if you're going to – now that you moved on from Bobby, if you're going to bring in a guy like Chip Kelly, Chip Kelly's probably going to have more demands and he's going to be more of a my way or the highway guy than if you promoted Gerard or, you know, you went with a guy that's never been a coordinator before. So, yeah, I think especially if it's Chip Kelly and he comes in and goes, man, for the money we're paying, if I've looked at the film and I'm not sure he's worth all that – then you've got to have a conversation with Nick and D'Amico and figure it out to where he feels like, based on whatever scheme he's going to run and the kind of lineman he's looking for, whether he fits or not. And if he doesn't, then see if you can move on from him.
New interview for the Texans offensive coordinator job. Thad Lewis, Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback coach. Why is that significant? What connections are there? What are his chances to get the next Texans offensive coordinator job? 713-780-3776. And what is your realistic-ish big move as well? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So Thad Lewis has interviewed with the Houston Texans. He's a minority, so there are your two external offensive coordinator interviews. So the Texans could hire Chip Kelly right now if they wanted to.
Coming this week now.
It could come at any moment. It could come at any moment. The Texans could hire anybody. Now, we just went through our three clues that Chip Kelly's the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. D'Amico waiting until the national title game was over. People are calling me crazy for that one. Maybe you're right. Ohio State is hemorrhaging money. Okay, that's clue number two. And then yesterday, they interviewed a former coach that was on Chip Kelly's staff in the past. Thad Lewis has a long history with Chip Kelly. Thad Lewis was a member of the Philadelphia Eagles in 2015. Guess who coached that team? Chip Kelly. D'Amico Ryans was also a player on that 2015 team. So Lewis and Ryans were teammates in 2015 on Philadelphia.
Mustafa. Or Mufasa, sorry.
What's that?
That's what Chip Kelly called, evidently, that's what Chip Kelly called D'Amico.
Mufasa. Oh, really? That's funny. 2016, Thad Lewis played with San Francisco. You know the head coach who was in San Francisco in 2016? It was Chip Kelly. Thad Lewis then began his coaching career as an offensive analyst at UCLA in 2018 and 19. Guess who the head coach was at UCLA in 18 and 19 when Thad Lewis was beginning his coaching journey?
The Chipster.
It was Chip Kelly. I think that the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio are using their required Rooney Rule interviews to familiarize themselves with a couple of coaches that would be on Chip Kelly's offensive staff.
Makes sense. It really does.
I don't know what else it would be.
Yeah, and you know, when we were talking about the fact that we were trying to come up with candidates and who would be the best candidate, I mean, look, he was on the short list for a reason, because regardless of all these other things, we knew he wasn't going to stay long-term at Ohio State, because he seems to be a guy that likes to be in the forefront. He couldn't do that in college because he hated the NIL and the transfer portal, and he was in a situation where it wasn't great for him anyway. He probably wanted to find a way to prove himself worthy of being back in the league, and now you got it.
Yeah, to me, there are two scenarios here. Either it's a slam dunk that it's Chip Kelly, and that these two guys, because, I mean, what are the chances, we just did the chances on the previous interview, what are the chances that Thad Lewis is your next offensive coordinator? He's the quarterback's coach at Tampa Bay.
Like, again, less than 3%.
Okay, so like very, very slim that he would be your next offensive coordinator. So why would you interview him? Like, to me, it's a very calculated way of getting to know who would be on Chip Kelly's staff. And for me, there's two scenarios here. One, it's a slam dunk that it's Chip Kelly. That might have been the other reason that they waited too, as well, until that Friday after D'Amico was like, we're going to think about it throughout the week. He might have just been waiting to see if Chip Kelly was interested in the NFL. Like, I'm sure they talk, and I'm sure that there were some hints, but it might have been, okay, Chip, give me your word, because if you're not, then I'm going to keep Bobby Slowick. So that could have been a reason that they hung on to Slowick, waiting for Chip Kelly to give D'Amico kind of an under-the-table handshake agreement. So, like, it's, to me, could very easily have already been Chip as soon as Bobby Slowick was fired. Or there are two people in mind, Chip and somebody else, and they're interviewing Chip's offensive staff to see if it nudges Chip for the lead.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, because I would think that, one, they haven't formally interviewed Chip Kelly, correct?
No.
Do they have to?
I don't know if they have to. Actually, I don't think that you do.
See, that was something that I was curious about. When I think about it, I'm like, well, I would think that they would at least go on the record having interviewed a couple of guys like LaFleur, like Kubiak until he took the job in Seattle, like Chip Kelly, to say, hey, look, also from the standpoint of negotiations and agents and other things, we have options with guys that are really good offensive play callers. But I don't even know if they have to interview them, and they can just do everything that they have to do to make sure that they abide by the rules of the league with the Rooney Rule, and then just go right in and go, well, we got our guy, and it's a done deal.
Yeah, I the only thing that I can find are the Rooney Rule requirements. I don't know if you have to interview a guy that you hire, although it's kind of weird to do that. But it wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow they're like, Texans interview Chip Kelly, and then an hour later Texans hire Chip Kelly. Like, to me, it's too much smoke.
Now, what do you make of the fact that a buddy of mine just texted me that's in and around the league pretty consistently that said, what you guys are talking about makes perfect sense. However, go back and talk to or find the quotes in the podcast and things of the ex-Eagles players that played under Chip that weren't a fan of his offensive style and his coaching and the way that he called games and implemented his players on an NFL level. I mean, maybe that was then, this is now. Maybe he learned some lessons. I think he was very innovative at Ohio State. I don't know what to make of that other than the fact that it's a little different league than it was even when he was coaching with the Eagles.
I mean, D'Amico has talked glowingly about Chip. So not denying what you're saying, but what do you value more? Do you value Chip having, you know, Chip or D'Amico having Chip in very high regard? Or do you value like a bunch of random players that isn't a head coach in the NFL that didn't like him?
Well, that's why I asked. I said, you know, because maybe even from then to now, I think the offense has changed and evolved to a different level in terms of the passing game and the explosiveness of offenses. But I also feel like the guys that you're talking about are also, if, as it relates to guys like, you know, Shady McCoy and DeSean Jackson, you're talking about very much me-centric guys that are ego-driven. And if they weren't getting the ball enough, it doesn't matter who their OC was. They're going to bash whatever, whoever. So I think that factors in as well. You're right. I mean, look, coaches are going to hire guys that they trust, that they're loyal, that they know can be loyal, that they have a relationship with. And that's, we've seen that track record over and over again. So it does. It makes absolutely every bit of sense that D'Amico Ryans would want a guy that he knows like Chip Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, knowing what we know now, with Thad Lewis, the second OC interview, what is your gut feeling on this?
I think it's over. I think it's already a done deal. Yeah, I think it's Chip Kelly, and we move on.
Yeah, and now you get. I think so, too.
I think you get it done as quickly as possible because now you can get to the point where you can already start working with CJ. And from what we've heard and what we've seen on social media already, it seems like CJ's not – and even I think DJ Bieniemy was the first one to put this out there too. CJ's not interested in being an alternate for the Pro Bowl. He's already – from what DJ was saying and others have said, he's going to treat this offseason as a chance to put his head down, reengage, and get as focused as he can at his position on his playbook. Well, hey, we all know that when you get a new OC and a new playbook or any kind of changes to your playbook, it takes some time for the quarterback to get acclimated. You get the whole offseason, and before you even play the Super Bowl, you got your OC in place. That's helpful.
Yeah, this is I think it's heating up. I think it's heating up. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I would say the one caveat is that D'Amico's deciding between two guys, and he's just trying to become more familiar with who would be on the staff. But he played with Thad Lewis. So, like, kind of talking to both sides of my mouth there a little bit. All right, let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say the one other thing I would add to that, though, is he does know LaFleur. So to me, maybe it's his backup plan, but that's why I threw him into the mix as I thought would be a guy that D'Amico knows he's familiar with that can run the system that they a similar system what they've currently run, or he can make changes to it. He's worked with McVay, he's worked in the Shanahan system. So I was a little bit curious if it goes this quickly that they didn't even sit down with him.
Yeah, that's I mean it's interesting too, but like. At the same time, like we haven't heard that Chip Kelly was interviewing either. So
right.
It seems like they're kind of playing their card. Well, I wouldn't even say they're playing their cards close to their vest because these two interviews that we know of scream Chip Kelly unless they're trying to like take us off the scent. But why would they do that? And yeah. To our conversation yesterday, the best offensive coordinator jobs that are in the NFL, and like we think that the Lions and the Texans are the top two. The Lions already have their guy, and it's not Chip Kelly. So, like, Chip Kelly, and the reports are true, that he wants to go to the NFL, it's pretty obvious that he would want to go to the Houston Texans, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe the only reason, Jeremy, to answer that is maybe because they wanted to keep the Jags off of the fact that they have competition and they've got probably a more a sexier job if you're Chip Kelly than the one that they were trying to get him for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't think that Chip would go somewhere where he's not calling plays.
I agree.
That, to me, is the deal-breaker. Zer on Twitch, is it a layup or slam dunk that Chip is coming? I think it's a layup. I couldn't call it a slam dunk yet.
No, I think that until it's done, I think that a guy like LaFleur could surface. Another guy that's been in D'Amico's past might be a guy that we're missing, sleeping on, or we have no clue was even in the mix. But, yeah, until the ink's dried, I would say that there's a chance it could be someone else, but it sure does seem like it's Chip Kelly.
Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, guys. Hey, the Eagles head coach, was he a retread or that was his first job?
You're talking about Sirianni?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was his first job, first head coaching job.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chip Kelly, did he coach? Was he a head coach in the league at one time?
Yeah, he coached Philadelphia for a few years and then San Francisco for 1 year.
Okay, and so my point is, if I'm D'Amico, yeah, you got rapport with him, but eager is Chip Kelly to be back in. They will be calling for D'Amico's head in year three, knowing that Chip Kelly is there. I would not touch that hit there. A retread, no success, coached the Eagles before, and he wants to get back in there and can possibly oversee me as a head coach. I would not touch a head coach who's – I would go with somebody else besides somebody who's been a head coach who's eager to get back in here and give me year three. And they want to put me on the out, calling for him, like the backup quarterback. That would be suicide for D'Amico.
I got you. Appreciate the call, Gary.
Gary, I don't think you can. I don't think you can coach scared. I just don't. I just think that you can look at it on the flip side and say, hey, any coach likes the ability to tap into a guy that you know you have a relationship with, so you can trust more so than say. I always go back to what I've experienced, but, you know, when McHale had coaches picked for him, you can't trust your assistant coaches, and maybe you never do, as opposed to when you've been a coach in other places, or in this case, when Chip Kelly was a coach and DeMeco played, they get to know each other very, very well to where there's a relationship in place. You can't coach scared. You can't coach, and it would be great for a guy like DeMeco, who's a defensive coach, to be able to kind of tap into the resource of not just the offensive mind of Chip Kelly. They can have conversations about, maybe Chip can talk about pitfalls and mistakes he made when he was a head coach.
Yeah.
Or he can help him in some way.
Like, I remember whenever DeMeco was hired, I wanted, I think you might have been on the same page, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you were, that I wanted an offensive coordinator with head coaching experience. That way it would just, I think it helps. I think it helps a rookie coach. Now, I think Gary's point is solid, but the pushback that I would have to that is, well, DeMeco played for Chip Kelly, so he has to have, a high level of trust with Chip Kelly if he were to hire him as the offensive coordinator. So I think it disputes a bit of what Gary said. Secondly, Chip Kelly left being the UCLA head coach to go be an offensive coordinator for a former player of his. So, like, he's already done that, so it's not new to him where he's now, like, working under a guy who he used to coach. And the stories are, too, that Chip doesn't want to be a head coach anymore. He doesn't want to have to deal with that pressure. He just wants to call plays. He likes ball, wants to call plays. The other element to this is we always talk about the downside of having a defensive head coach is that, and a franchise quarterback, is that if you have a really good success on offense, then that offensive coordinator is gone. He's going to leave. Like Slowik almost left last year, right? Slowik almost got a job last year after 1 year of offensive success and then got fired this year. If you have a guy who really doesn't have aspirations of being a head coach again or might not be able to get a head coaching job again, well, you have your offensive coordinator for as long as you want him. Like, it might be the Spagnuolo for DeMeco Ryans. Like, Spagnuolo is critical for Kansas City's success, right? He's been there forever because no one wants him as a head coach. He might not even really want to be a head coach, although he has taken some interviews. It might be the same deal with Chip Kelly, where if Chip Kelly has success, he's already been fired twice in the NFL as a head coach. Doesn't seem like he wants to be a head coach. Well, you might have the offensive coordinator, if he has success, for as long as you want him. And then going back to the years when Chip Kelly was in the NFL as a head coach, the year in San Francisco was a disaster. There's no getting around that. They were terrible. They were 2-14. They were 27th in the league in scoring. He got fired after a season. Now, you did have Trent Baalke there. It wasn't your team. Like, you might have just taken over a really bad roster. I don't know. But 16 was really, really bad. But if you go to the 3 years that he was at Philadelphia, his first year he went 10-6, and they were fourth in the league in scoring. That's pretty good. 2014, they were 10-6. They were third in the league in scoring. And then even the year, he actually got fired in the middle of the season. They went 6-9, fired him before the final game. They were 13th out of 32. Like, he has good offensive success in the NFL, and then he also took it back to college where he's been unbelievable. Maybe one of the better offensive coaches we've seen in the last 20 years in the college game.
Yeah, no, look, I think that, you know, when you're talking about, too, we're not talking about a team right now, too, in a place of, you know, at a crossroads or just starting the process of rebuilding or trying to be on the come up. They're trying to get to their ultimate, you know, landing spot of trying to win a Super Bowl. And you take a guy that's got a load of experience that is a really good offensive mind. And to your point, you don't have to worry about him wanting to go elsewhere. If he gets into a situation where he's comfortable and he loves his quarterback and he knows that his quarterback is going to be here for a long period of time and he loves the fact that the general manager with the backing of ownership is not afraid to go out and get what he needs if he feels like this offense or certain players are lacking or not what he really wants to be able to execute, that's an ideal situation for anyone. And if he gets success, if he has success, gets credit for it, and the team's willing to kind of take care of him every time that they continue to have success so that he is happy here, it's the ideal situation. And he's an older coach. He's not trying to make a name for himself and cut his teeth and make more opportunities for that big jump. He's had those times. It seems like it's a perfect match as long as he likes the personnel. Other than that, I'm not worried about DeMeco trusting him.
Yeah, I think his running game is always so good. Like, his line always blocks so well. Like, it'd be a breath of fresh air. Like, I'm on board for it. Are you? Do you dig? Are you on board for the idea of Chip Kelly? Text line wants to weigh in. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. And it is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Look, it is the season. We talked basketball for the entire first hour of the show. We were talking tons of basketball yesterday, pro game, college game. It's a great time to be a basketball fan in Houston. There's no doubt about that. And you might be jonesing to play a little basketball. You might be jonesing to go out, shoot some hoops. You might be jonesing, if you get a wild hair, maybe throw down some jams. We know your kids are. So get a goal from Pro Dunk. If you're in the market, you want to get a goal, you need to get it from Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. They're the best goals on the planet. They're fantastic. Don't go to the big box store. Get your goal there. No one wants to do that. Don't be that person. But the goals from Pro Dunk, tempered glass backboard. They give you the true, authentic feel whenever you kiss it off the glass or you miss a shot maybe. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof. Breakaway rim and height adjustable. Those correlate because breakaway rim, if you have the height adjustable goal, lower it down as low as you need to throw down some jams. It goes all the way down to 5 feet, all the way up to 10 feet if you want to work on your shot. Don't get it from a big box store. Get it from Pro Dunk. Their new goal, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Easy to do. It's their lightning adjust features, what they call it. We mentioned 5 feet to 10 feet. You can do it in a matter of seconds with Thor. And their accessories are next level. LED light kits for night play. Your work and kids are at school, you can only play at night, we get some LED light kits, no problem there. Backstop nets, you don't like to chase after the basketball. You're lazy bone like me, I get it. We'll get a backstop net, you won't have to. Pull pad lettering and lots, lots more. And you can order all of this online at ProDunk.com, including professional installation. That's right. You don't want to assemble this. Who would want to do that? You might screw it up. You might make the rim unlevel. You don't have to worry about that. You just don't want to unload the box, right? You have so many pieces whenever you break that box open. Don't do it. Let the pros from ProDunk professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't lift a bone. Let the pros at ProDunk do that for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texter talking about Chip Kelly, potentially the next offensive coordinator of the Tech. We're just putting two and two together. We don't know this. Texter says you don't have to announce your interviews, and I quickly Googled it, and I think that's right based on my quick search. So to your question earlier, Blankers, like, do you even have to announce the interview? It looks like NFL rules suggest you do not. So they might have already.
Well, there you
might
go.
Have already happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would think, you know, and again, when you've got, because now. Nick and D'Amico are both at the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah, I think they are. I saw some tweets from Cody Toots about that, yeah.
I saw someone had a picture of the two of them. You know, I might have been Blessing or Stressing.
Toots? Or Nick and D'Amico?
No, that Nick and D'Amico were standing side by side watching some of the individual workouts at the practices. And so, you know, I think that from that standpoint, too, I would think that this is pretty much they already know what they're going to do. And we said that right from the jump. You probably don't make this move unless you're already kind of three quarters of the way mind made up and, you know, kind of the groundwork laid for who you're going to go get.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. Let's get to lots of people are texting in on this. The texture to your point earlier about the former players and stuff. What do y'all think about all the YouTube videos of past NFL players going off on how bad Chip was? They call him a racist and control freak. I do not have any recollection of this. I'm going to have to go do a little research on this.
So I sent you, I've got buddies of mine that have been in the league and worked on NFL teams. And one of the guys was listening and happened to send me some stuff. I think that I know exactly what the listener is talking about. But at the same time, I think that that was something that he was able to do because he was the head coach. I think that when you get into a situation now with D'Amico as the head coach, that's probably some of the stuff you were alluding to. He doesn't want to deal with that anymore. As he doesn't need to deal with all that head coach stuff. He just focuses on, hey, as long as you're at practice, on the field, in the meetings, on time, so that I can run the offense I want to run, then that's everything else is not in my hands and it shouldn't be in my control.
Yeah. 713-780-ESP. I'm gonna look at those videos now that it seems like he might be the Texans OC.
The Cliff Notes is that he controlled what music they played in the locker room, how
Brian Flores.
how they wore their socks, no rap music, you know, tried to be just so much of a control freak and take away a lot of the individuality of players that they didn't like it. Well, he was a head coach. You can't do that same thing when you're an OC.
Yeah, I would think that he wouldn't have that power with Houston. Although that is kind of weird. That is kind of, that's kind of a college coach coming to the NFL.
It's a college coaching move for sure.
That is, because college coaches do that. You know, I think that's a college. Nick Saban or not Nick Saban, Urban Meyer was kicking his kicker. You know,
right?
That's what college coaches do. They
he tried, and we see how quickly and how well that translates when college coaches take that style to the NFL.
Not necessarily a fan, but don't know who would want to make a lateral move OC to OC. Kelly's definitely better than a rookie play caller, says Hockley Dan. I would agree. Texture says, please be Chip. Another texture, Chip Kelly's a good offensive mind in college, but isn't good on the NFL level. See, I think I dispelled that, though. Like, his 3 years in Philadelphia, two of them were elite. The other year that he got fired, they were still top half of the league.
And I think from the previous comment, I think that as much as we know that money's running amok in college sports, you're not going to come close to the money you can make in the NFL. If Liam Cohen was going to be the highest paid offensive coordinator in the league because he was getting head coaching opportunities and looks and they wanted to keep their guy, there's nothing that says that Cal and company aren't going to do the same thing and go, well, if there's competition for Chip, we don't worry about like how much in the hole the Buckeyes were last year because we're not going to be in the hole in the NFL by being in a cash cow league, and we'll pay him what we need to pay him.
Yeah, I mean, Cal's been willing to open up the pocketbooks. Like, I don't think that Cal loses.
Never.
And that's why.
Quit.
Because he has that attitude. He doesn't lose bidding wars because he never quits. And most of it's off leverage. I'll have to disagree with that caller. He spelled caller, C-O-L-L-A-R. I'll have to disagree with that caller because Chip Kelly was never successful as an NFL head coach. That's why I went back to college. I think he meant him. He must be texting while he's driving. Don't do that. He might be a good coordinator, but I don't think he's a head coach. I would agree with that. Chip Kelly traded LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso. Don't forget that. You're not hired to be the general manager, though. Like, that's unrelated completely.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is the kind of stuff that we're probably glad he's not in the position to do those kind of things. All he's responsible for doing is calling plays and putting together an offense that is innovative and effective, and I believe he's fully capable of that, and then we don't have to worry about the rest of that stuff.
Texter, Branham, I recently came across your TikTok content. Love it. We need more. Branham knows ball. That's at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok. Thank you, Mother, for texting that into the show. I disagree with Gary. There's lots of guys who failed as head coaches but make really great coordinators and vice versa. There's no doubt about that. I think they're two totally different positions. I don't think that offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator position has anything to do with being a good head coach. I think they're so different. I think they're polar opposites.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, I think we've covered it adequately enough, and we realize, both of us realize, look, regardless of whether he was a great head coach, a good head coach, a less-than head coach, I believe in Chip Kelly to know offensive football. I believe Chip Kelly can take the weapons that he has currently in Houston, whatever kind of weapons they also supply for him once he gets the job, if he gets the job, and he can work with them and do some things with them, and we're probably still going to criticize him from time to time, but I have total confidence he can take this offense where it needs to go.
Nobody would call for DeMeco to replace. That caller is dead wrong. Honestly, with the way that the Shanahan offenses across the league struggled, I would have no problem with the Texans moving away from that. I agree. I think I'm over it. They could have already interviewed Chip Kelly. They don't have to announce who they interview. So that aspect of it. This isn't an English class. You know what he meant. Fair enough. Why didn't the Texans kick the tires on John Gruden as head coach? He's making too much at Barstool, I think.
Yeah. Did you see, though, that it did that at least
I love his content.
Mark Davis wasn't afraid to take one more parting shot at the league for taking Gruden away from him today.
That was a weird deal. I didn't catch that. I'll have to look for that. But that was a weird deal with Gruden. Like, that stuff just magically leaked and put that out there.
Believe me. Look, and I've said this before. It was an unbelievable distraction and deflection for the league to what otherwise would have been a complete and utter embarrassment with all the stuff they had on Snyder. Because you remember that they deflected it. It became the Gruden deal instead. They made that the big deal. They took action against Gruden, and then as part of the process, they wanted all of the emails released, and Goodell said he's not doing it.
Yeah, it's a weird deal there with the whole Gruden. This texter has texted us multiple times. When guys interview for jobs in the NFL, do they bring a hard copy of a resume?
Probably not. I mean,
I think in person they probably do, just because it's like what you do, you know?
I think it's computers. I think that it's all, you know, computer generated. You're going to get a packet, you know, a computer packet, and you're going to get everything. Resume, and there's a high-tech name for, instead of resumes now, it's like a whole kind of PowerPoint presentation that people are doing in the business world, but I think that's all part of it.
I just feel like it's like this, like you're supposed to do it, so you do it. Not that it matters at all, but I feel like it's just one of those things that you do because you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think that the days of probably hard copies of resumes are over.
But you know, you're always taught that. Like whenever you go to an interview, you take like a handful of resumes. That way, you can give it to everybody in the room. Like I wonder if that still happens. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's cash it or trash it. What are you cashing? What are you trashing with the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.